From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Carol Bousquet with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, June 3rd, 2026.
This Day in Maine is made possible in part by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 26 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Just days before Maine's primary elections, two Democrats hoping to represent the 2nd Congressional District are trading political punches over abortion. Kevin Miller has more.
In a new TV ad, Joe Baldacci and a super PAC tied to Democratic leaders in Washington point out that Matt Dunlap received a 100% rating from the Maine Right to Life Committee in 2003. The rating appears tied to a bill requiring doctors to inform women seeking an abortion about the gestational age of the fetus. During a press conference in Hallowell, Dunlap says that vote was intended to show respect for his constituents and was the right thing to do, quote, at the time. But he says he voted more than 20 times to defend abortion rights in the legislature and earned a 100% rating from Planned Parenthood.
I never thought I'd have to answer for my record on choice issues 23 years later, based on that one keyhole that Senator Baldacci is now trying to drive a semi-trailer through.
In a statement, Baldacci's campaign said Dunlap's 100% rating from Maine Right to Life that year is indisputable. The other two candidates in the June 9th Democratic primary, Paige Loud and Jordan Wood, have also pledged to defend abortion rights. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
Political action committees have spent more than $8 million trying to shape next Tuesday's primary race for governor in Maine. Steve Missler reports.
With less than a week before the election, the total spending by PACs is approaching the $12 million spent by the 12 candidates vying to replace Governor Janet Mills next year. And PAC spending is intensifying. More than half of the money going into ads, mailers, and other communications has come in over the past 3 weeks. The uncertain outcome of both party nomination contests means that pace is likely to continue as voters head to the polls. So far, more than half of the total spending has come from a PAC funded by GOP mega donor Thomas Klingenstein that's backing Republican candidate Garrett Mason. Second on the spending list is a PAC backing Jonathan Bush. PACs backing Democratic candidates Hannah Pingree, Nirav Shah, and Troy Jackson are among the other big spenders. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
The Maine Department of Transportation is warning of major funding gaps in its work plan over the next 2 years. In a memo to Governor Janet Mills, Commissioner Dale Doughty says he has delayed paving projects and bridge and highway improvements this year and expects to trim up to $400 million more from the work plan. The commissioner cites the failure of two funding bills in the last legislative session that could have helped plug some of the funding gap. Other factors include uncertain federal funding, large grant projects that must be completed on time, and the cost of fuel and asphalt. As cities and states across the U.S. put the brakes on the creation of large-scale data centers, a new study panel is considering ways to regulate the developments in Maine. As Peter McGuire reports, the Maine Data Center Advisory Council met for the first time today and has about 8 months to deliver its recommendations.
The council was established by Governor Janet Mills after she vetoed a bill to temporarily ban big data centers in the state. Environmental Commissioner Melanie Loisim says it will probe ways to protect the electric system, environment, and economy from the possible negative impacts of the developments.
And if we find that our policies and practices aren't adequate in some areas, what are the improvements that we can make, and how do we maximize the potential benefits of data centers to Maine?
The centers, which store equipment for artificial intelligence and online software, have raised concern in many communities because of their high energy and water use, noise, and light pollution. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
The Maine Immigrants' Rights Coalition is launching a new online database and resource guide to help immigrant communities and advocates understand and navigate increased federal enforcement. Ari Snyder reports.
Dubbed Lighthouse Maine, the website includes a resource guide for families responding to the arrest of a loved one, several years of data on ICE arrests in the state, and a map of recent ICE sightings reported through the coalition's hotline. Speaking at a launch event in Portland on Wednesday, advocacy manager Ruben Torres says the goal is to make all this information available in one place.
It gives the public a chance to see the patterns, understand their rights, find support, and measure official claims against the record.
Torres says the website will be updated as new data on ICE activity and detentions becomes available. The site is translated into 29 languages. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join Erwin Gratz for Morning Edition starting at 5 a.m. I'm Carol Bousquet. Thanks for listening.